Blog Talk Radio.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Shut the door.
Welcome, everybody, to the Remnant Call. I am your host this evening, Brother Frank, and guest host with us here, or I should say permanent guest host, excuse me, Brother Todd. Todd, tell everybody hello this evening.
I've been a guest for a while now, so this has been a great experience.
I guess we need to make you the official, my co-host, excuse me.
There you go.
Anyways, we're excited to have everybody here for another episode of the Remnant Call. And tonight's episode is going to be a very special episode because we have our first guest, a special guest, not your normal guest. But tonight's guest is none other than my father, Mr. Brother Frank. So there'll be two Franks on here this evening, and I'm just so excited to have my dad on here. My dad teaches a class on biblical preparedness. It's a couple-hour long class where he takes questions from people and teaches insights into what the Bible says about being prepared for the last days and how to go about it. And so I thought to myself, well, we better get Dad on here to do a program so we can get this information out. So we kind of tonight asked Dad to come on and just do a kind of a 10,000-foot overview of this biblical preparedness. And then in the future, we're going to come back and get it in a little more in depth. So I want to open up tonight's program with a word of prayer, and we'll get right into this. And Todd, would you just ask God to bless this program tonight, please?
Oh, yes, definitely. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. Please keep us in tune with you as we discuss being prepared for the end times and using your Bible, your instruction book, to get us there. Lord God, thank you for the love that you've shown us, and please help us to display this love in every way that we possibly can to other people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So before I bring Dad onto the phone here, I just wanted to open up with a scripture tonight just to kind of get the juices in the mind flowing here. And it comes from Matthew 24 in verse 44. And this is what it says. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, when I read that word right there, I see that God is saying, this is the words from Jesus' mouth. He's saying, be ready, because you don't know what hour that the Lord is coming. So if Jesus says, be ready, I think we should be ready.
Be ready, yeah.
Amen. Amen to that. And with that introduction, I'm going to bring Dad on the phone here. And Dad, can you hear
me? I can hear you well.
Dad, well, welcome to the Remnant Call broadcast this evening. Glad to have you. I'm excited, Dad. I can't think of a better host unless it was Jesus himself, which we have asked to be in our presence. So we're glad to have you here with us, though, tonight, Dad, and looking forward to understanding this concept of biblical preparedness, what it means, how it applies, and I guess, and is it even important for us to even think about? And so with that introduction, Dad, I ask that you just take us off and begin us down this journey this evening.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for inviting me, Frank and Todd. I'm very appreciative to be here on your program this evening. And what I'm going to talk about this evening, I have presented many times in many different places. And every time, it's a little bit different, but it's always pretty much about the same. So some of the things that I will say about my experience in presenting these matters will come from from having feedback from many different sources. But I know that you asked me to talk about disaster preparedness. But you wanted me to talk initially, at least this first interview, about the biblical basis for disaster preparedness.
Yes, Dad, please lead us in that way, because there's so many voices out there today. Some say we should prepare. Some say, you know, Joseph, Noah had a plan. Some say we don't need to have any, we don't need to prepare at all, except just, you know, simply trust in Jesus. And so, Dad, if you could just help begin to clarify this topic, would be just a wonderful blessing to all of us.
Good, good. I will do that. I'm going to dive in. First of all, when we talk about preparedness, a lot of people think about physical preparedness, food, water, shelter, things like that. And those are very important, and we'll talk about those a little later on. There are people who read the scriptures, and they will read the text you opened with, which was Matthew 24:44, that we don't know the time that the Lord returns, and we are to be ready. And they will think that, well, our preparedness should be just spiritual preparedness. What I'd like to bring to the awareness of folks listening this evening is that both sides of the coin, the physical and the spiritual preparedness, are very, very important. And I'd like to start off also with a scripture that I think is well known by most folks and points right to what I'm talking about. This comes from Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he, God, will direct your paths." So for understanding, we must not lean on what we just think and our opinions only. But we must go to a better and a higher source for that information. We must go to the Lord to know. I'd like to bring another scripture in. And as I talk about the biblical preparedness, biblical basis for preparedness, I want to address a question that often comes up. I frequently have people say to me, "Well, if you go out and you store some food up and you provide for shelter and you do all this planning, that's just a lack of faith, isn't it? I mean, don't you think that God is there to care for us? Won't he take care of us?" Some people go so far as to say, "I don't need to do any of that stuff, the physical preparedness. I just trust in the Lord, and that's all I need to do." Proverbs 27:12 says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished." And I would submit that that scripture there says that, first of all, we are to be watching so we can see something happening. We are to be looking for an event that will give us a hint. We are to be prepared to respond to that by doing something about it so that we don't have to be punished. We don't have to suffer the hardships that can come with this evil that it's talking about. Let's go on to another scripture, and I'm going to cover several scriptures here because, again, this is the biblical basis for disaster preparedness. And I think it's good to have a broad spectrum of scriptures. And certainly of the ones that I bring up, there are many others that we won't have time to go over. But if we back up one verse from where you referenced Matthew 24:44, I'd like to back up to the prior verse, verse 43. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." So there again, if we are watching, if we are tuned into the fact that the thief or the evil one or evil or whatever, if it's coming, we watch and we would take action if we knew. You remember the story of the destruction of Jerusalem?
Yes, I do.
Tell me what you remember about it.
I remember that Jesus had given them a warning about to actually flee ahead of a time. And so he said, actually told them, make sure, you know, that you don't have to flee on the Sabbath or in the winter. I remember he mentioned those things being a, we see now that was a prophetic word, so that they would take action before when that time happened, when he saw the Romans, I think it was, you know, Jerusalem surrounded, that they were to flee.
Yes. And he told them to flee to the mountains. Now, the thing that is so different about the mountains is that it's not the city. Because whenever there is civil unrest, whenever there is concentrated evil, that's a place that the scriptures tell us that that's not where the Lord wants his people whenever he's trying to hide them away from things. So when he said flee to the mountains, it was get out of the cities. So if you can go with me there on that, the scriptures already, just in these few verses, you can see that there is an admonition to watch, to be aware, and to respond at the proper time in a way that the Lord has directed us to. Let's see, one more. How about Genesis chapter 6? God looked upon the earth.
I wanted to make one comment, Dad, about that flee to the mountains, because as you were saying that, it reminded me of another instance of the Bible of the same thing. When Lot was told to flee out of Sodom, and he argued. He was told, I think, if I remember, I have to look it up now, but I'm pretty sure he argued with God. They didn't want to go to the mountains. They actually wanted to go to another city, and they fled over to another city, and eventually that was destroyed, and they were forced to go in the mountains. And that was interesting how there was actually a resistance to flee out of the cities. There's actually a desire to still go into another city. I don't know if that ties in with which, where you're going, but it just I remembered that.
Well, that thank you for bringing that out. Very important point. Very important point. I would say it like this. There is a tremendous tendency for all of us human beings to respond. Maybe not that we want to, but to respond to an area of our life that Satan can easily tempt us. One of the phrases in the Bible is the sin that so easily besets us. But the cities, as referred to here in the scriptures, and apparently, in Lot's day, absolutely, the cities had a lot of attraction for some of his family. And they weren't really anxious to leave the city. I mean, that's where their comfort zone was. That's probably where their entertainment was. They had a choice of a large variety of food compared to living out in the countryside. All these kind of things were allurements. And those allurements, it is my conviction, Satan is going to bring those around in the end times and bear down as hard as he ever has. So when they were called to leave the city, it was a tough thing. Now, let me ask you a question, Frank and Todd. Do you all live in a house or an apartment or whatever that you're comfortable in right now?
Well, I live in an apartment. It's fairly comfortable,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes, Dad. I live in a house, as you know, and I am comfortable where I live, even though it is out in the woods. I'm still not far from conveniences if needed.
Yes. Well, I've got you. I live in a house that I've lived in for 26 years. I'm comfortable in it. But one of the things that I hope comes out in this is that it is valuable. It is important to seriously consider what it would take in our own minds for us to actually get up out of our comfort zone and leave should the Lord direct us to do what he told those people in Jerusalem to do, or as he told Lot and his family to do. See what I'm saying?
Dad, I agree wholeheartedly. What I am finding more lately in response to this is that there seems to be a belief that this could never happen.
There's a lot of people that feel that it couldn't, particularly in America, where we have not been subjected to the type of disasters that the world has had, at least not until recent times. And even still, we're so far removed that I'm just simply saying that if the Lord calls you to leave, could you actually do it? So it's something important to consider and to pray about. Make it a matter of prayer. If you feel that spiritual preparedness for these last days, if you feel that it's important, make that also a matter of your prayers. I want to mention some other things right quick. First of all, Genesis chapter 6, we have Noah. And rather than the Lord saying to Noah, "Hey, Noah, something's going to be coming down the path, but don't worry, I'll take care of you. You just go on and live the way you're doing, and you'll be fine. You're a good man. I love you. I believe you love me. I'll take care of you." That's not what he said. He said, "Noah, I want you to build a boat." Some people feel that there is no room in preparedness for the last days, if you're going to be talking about spiritual matters, there is no room for violence. I do not like violence. I really do not. I spent many years in the emergency room seeing people that were hurt very badly. I really hate that. But in Genesis, where Lot was captured by the kings, you may recall, Abraham took 300 and something of his servants who were trained, and they went and they rescued Lot and those that were with him, and they did it at the edge of the sword. The way the scriptures read, it leads me to believe that there was a battle, probably a bloody battle. So I cannot say that you will never have violence occur in these last days when you are, say, watching out for your family, trying to protect them. I cannot say that, but it should be a matter of prayer, asking that the Lord will guide you to whatever you should do. And I'd like to read a thought because we're going to talk a little bit later on about some physical preparedness. The course that I teach regularly, it does not teach how to. In other words, how to build a fire, how to purify water, how to make a shelter. It's more about what to do, when to do, and how to get into a mindset to be prepared the way the Lord would want us to. It's about
Absolutely.
What to,
Dad,
not how to.
Dad, let me interject something before you get into that. For just a second, because back to the part about violence, and I just want our listeners to be clear on this, that, Dad, I know you never, as believers, we never, ever advocate for violence. And I think sometimes, Dad, the difference is obviously trying to squish this program close, a big, long, normal class into a short period, is that there's a difference in the Bible between protecting your family and then resisting when they come for your faith. Am I correct on that,
Absolutely.
Dad?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you
because
are called
when they come
to
for faith, we We don't fight. You've never taught me to do that, as even as a kid growing, you know, I remember when you were first had your own conversion in life. You've told me even since I was younger, Dad, there would come a day when we were going to face some tough things. And
right.
So,
well,
you
what,
know, could Frank, you
what,
quickly explain the difference between?
Yes. There are, and I know I'm summarizing in this statement here, but there are two different types of self-defense. One is where you defend your family. Abraham did that for Lot when we referenced in Genesis 14. There is a difference between defending your family, protecting your family, and standing for your faith in God, your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When we are called to defend our family, we take sometimes physical action. And I hate to advocate violence at all, but there can be physical action that needs to be taken. But when you stand for your faith, just think about Jesus. What did he do? He was quiet. He was humble. He was reserved, and he took one of the most violent beatings, torturings that are recorded. And he took them in a very calm, as far as we know, quiet and submissive manner. He was standing for something. He was standing for a principle. And in standing, he needed to accept the harshness.
He needed to accept.
So I hope I'm saying it clearly enough.
No, I agree. And the reason I bring this up is because for some people, this could be very hard for them to understand. When you read that verse earlier, when it said, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. He would have stopped the thief, basically, is what it's saying. And I believe there's a biblical basis for protecting your family. But when they come to you for your faith in Christ, and I don't like to argue. I know there are people who think they can win the war and fight the government and all that. We don't promote that. Never will, never have, and never will. But when they come to us for our faith, then we will suffer for Christ's name's sake. So anyways, sorry, Dad, let's move on. I just wanted to clear that up because I know sometimes that's a very sensitive and difficult subject, and people can take it wrong quickly.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I would like to preface where we go from here with a statement, because we will talk about some physical preparedness, but I want to read something to you. The person who claims the God of heaven as their strength and their refuge, to this person, it is nothing short of foolishness to prepare for the future without first seeking God's wisdom in prayer and reading his word. Without his wisdom, without God's wisdom, the question of what, when, where, and how much that we should do will be almost impossible to really answer. See, you can strike out ahead and do good things and be admired by other people for doing good things and never really know if it's what God wanted you to do. It may be a good thing, but you may have no idea if it's what he wanted you to do unless you bring it before him. And, you know, this is not preparedness, but I want to mention something to you right quick. This is very common in Christendom. I was speaking to a group of people one day, and I looked at them and I said, you ever wish that God would just tell you what he wanted you to do, what he wanted for you? And a lot of people said, yes, I just wish he would. And I said, okay, well, I hear that, and I've thought that before myself. And I asked them, how do we usually speak to God? And we usually do that through prayer, as you know. And then I asked them, I said, do you know anybody that whenever you're talking with them, they talk so much you can almost never get a word in edgewise? Of course, everybody knew one. A lot of people put their hands up. I said, that's right. I said, so we talk to God by praying. How do we hear what God has to say to us, usually? And pretty much everyone agreed that we do it through reading his word, reading the Bible. And that's how God usually speaks to us. Certainly sometimes he speaks even audibly to some people, but it's not the most common mode. So then my question was to this group of people, so if you are not reading his word, but you're only praying, is that not a one-way conversation where you're doing all the talking and maybe God can't get a word in edgewise? My point is this, that when, as in everything in life, certainly when you're talking about preparedness, then be sure that you're not involved in a one-way conversation where you do all the talking. Allow him to speak to you, go to his word, and allow him to lead you. Make sense?
That makes perfect sense to me, Dad. It's so easy to hear, sometimes so hard to do, to stop and actually listen to God. I think it's something, it's maybe we should try our relationship from the point of listening first, speaking second.
Yes. Okay. All right. How about if I forge on ahead into some additional things?
Absolutely, Dad.
Okay. Let's talk for a minute about our families. Well, actually, before we do that, I would like to put a question out there, Frank, for you and Todd. I would like to read briefly a list of situations and conditions. And if you'll listen to these, and when you come across something that really speaks to you, that makes a bell go off in your head, remember it, and I'll come back to it in just a moment. But I'm going to go through the list. Floods, loss of electrical power, fires, terrorist attack on power systems, an electromagnetic pulse, EMP as they call it, biological threats, nuclear power plant failure near you, tornadoes, earthquakes, terrorist attacks, food shortages in grocery stores, a financial crisis in the markets, bank failures, economic depression, long-term power outages, maybe weeks and months, joblessness, political failure, breakdown of our government, war in the homeland, erratic solar activity, asteroids, tsunamis, astronomical disruptions. Any of those ring a bell with you guys?
Yeah, 50% of that sounds like you just finished reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
And the other 50% sounds like you just finished reading the Bible.
So let me ask you a question. Is there anything to prepare for?
Yes.
I would have to say a lot.
Okay. I have another question for you. If your family, your children, are hungry, if they are sick, running a fever, crying, sweating, throwing up, can't keep food down, break an arm or a leg and need help, to what extent would you go to help them?
Any and everything possible.
That's right. I concur.
What happens is that in times of breakdown of our government, societal disruptions, everything goes crazy. If we refer right back to the destruction of Jerusalem and the admonition to flee to the mountains when the sign came makes total sense not to be in the city. Okay? Makes total sense not to be in the city. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to pack up today and go out of town. That doesn't make sense. But you must seek the Lord's will in the scriptures. You must be praying about this so you have no idea what to do. Now, go ahead.
No, we're just agreeing with you, Dad. I think it's spot on.
Okay. So, preparing is, there's a lot to be considered. I want to throw something out there, too, that in preparedness, in preparing for the future, spiritually and physically, it's very important to include in your list of things not to remember to begin preparing your family, your spouse, your children, your brothers and your sisters, your parents. And you can't prepare for something unless you at least talk about it. You will find that a lot of people do not like to talk about it. But it's important to discuss these things. And in doing that, you will find that you may become well aware of what we have done, certainly in America, to a lot of our children. If you were a churchgoer and you raised your children in the church, if you had them in class as a young child, they probably heard many, many times, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus loves you. We love Jesus. Jesus takes care of us. He protects us, all of these things. But in the process of raising our children and being good parents, responsible, a shift takes place many times, not for everybody, but many times, where we go from talking about success in life as being close to Jesus, we begin to drift into success in this life is getting a good education, getting a good job, being able to support your family. Now, imagine for a moment if you have shifted into that mindset with your children, and now they're in college, let's say, or a little younger or a little older, and now you're talking to them about, success is relying on the Lord and living with almost nothing and being happy about it. You see the conflict that can be even occurring for our young people here?
Yeah, in this day and age, that sounds almost like an impossible intellectual feat, because without an iPhone or without some sort of contact to the outside world, that wouldn't be an ideal way of life.
Oh, you've hit it right on the head.
Yeah, sometimes with the family, Dad, it seems it can be the toughest at times. And it can be very discouraging. I know through the years I've had some real struggles, but I have learned that if I will simply not press it so hard but seek God, He ends up bringing my family into harmony a lot better than I do. And so I have learned to mention it, to talk about it, but you got to pray about it. And God has to be the one who ultimately brings the conviction. I just want to share that because it's taken me, 17 years to learn some of these lessons since my conversion.
Well, for a lot of us, it can be a long time. And it's... And as long as it takes, it doesn't mean that it's not worth it, because many times the situations that we are trying to address spiritually, in our lifestyle, in our relationship with other people, the things we set out to address are just a few of the many things that we end up addressing and that end up coming up. And the making an effort to address anything important usually has a lot of side benefits that come to it. Heartaches at times, but benefits. But it's tough. It's really tough. And when we talk to young people, we talk to adults, we talk to older folks about leaving our comfort zone. It is a heavy discussion. And many people say, I don't want to think about it. In fact, I'll tell you from my experience in teaching the course that I teach, my experience is when I go to a group of people, we put up a sign, say there's going to be a meeting about this. As a rule, less than 2% of the group, whether it's a church or another organization, less than 2% will ever come to the meeting. In my experience, I would have to guesstimate it, and talking to people afterwards, sometimes months later, that of those 2% or less that come, no more than 20% of them ever actually make any changes. So the thing is that it is a hard subject. It is like swallowing a cube that's got sharp edges. It's not fun, and you're not going to do it more than once if you can avoid it. So let me zoom ahead here. I know that our time will get away from us. I want to bring a few more things into play here, things that are important to consider conceptually. I would like to say that in preparing physically, it's important, is my conviction that it is important not to go into debt for making preparations. I think that can truly be a lack of faith. Even though the scriptures tell us that we're to do things in preparedness, going into debt for it, because as much as the Lord encourages us in the scripture to not owe any man anything, I think going into debt can seriously be a lack of faith. And then there's the question, if I'm going to prepare and put aside some food, have water, way to heat, what about hoarding? I'd like to just, there's a lot of references that we could make, but I'd like to just at this point throw out a little concept to you. Preparing and hoarding are different things. Hoarding, I got my stuff, I got my family, and we're going to hunker down. Anybody tries to bother us or take our stuff, we're going to run them off. We'll do whatever it takes, and we're going to hold out. Preparing, in the words of a good friend of mine, he told me years ago, and it's something I remembered since he told me. He says, Frank, he says, someday when the times are really hard, the Lord has a bunch of people he's going to send to me, and he's going to want me to feed them and shelter them and be sure they got clothes on their back. And so I want to be ready for that. And so that's a totally different side of the spectrum. Hunker down, my family and I, we're going to keep our stuff and we'll fight off anybody that's coming after us. The other side is the Lord will provide, and when people need help and he sends them to me, I want to be there to help them. So different sides of that spectrum. I want to say also that many people have read in the scriptures where there will be a day where people will throw their silver into the streets because it's of no value. But I want to say to you that there is a time period between today and when that time comes. That time comes reminds me of Elijah in the wilderness being fed by the ravens, depending strictly upon what Lord provided him, having no preparation of his own. But how long the distance is from today until times like that, should you go through that? It could be weeks, could be years. I don't know. Okay.
We got about 19 minutes left on the program, and I'm looking forward to when we can space this out and get the whole, I feel there's so much stuff to cover that I'm asking you to try to, fit all, a big giant, pile of stuff into a little tiny thimble. And so, I guess I would have a question I'd like to ask Dad, since we're getting down low on time, and that is, let's say we understand that, yes, we get it from the scripture you showed us earlier. God wants us to watch. He wants us to, when we see, to if we need to flee, to as the prudent man hides himself. Where do we start as believers? What are some practical ways we can go, Dad?
Okay. If you'll bear with me one more time, I just want to reiterate, preparation may be worthless if you do not put it before the Lord. But if you're putting it before the Lord, here's the way I encourage people to do it. First of all, you need to have a plan. And as you build a plan, you want to pray over it. Ask the Lord's guidance on each step. I have put together material, which I'm going to be forwarding to you, and I think you said you could place it on your website for anyone that was interested. And it shows priorities on this sheet. And so I will be providing that to you. But as you plan, we want to use a little bit of logic. Let me ask you this. Todd, Frank, how long can you go without oxygen breathing?
Maybe a minute.
But I think it's somewhere up to six total before you, or it's four, you start to lose brain function, or six. I can't remember. Yeah,
I'm no longer comfortable after 30 seconds.
Exactly. neither one of us are Navy SEALs, so about a minute's our max.
Okay. Hey, I'm with you guys. How long can you go without water?
Is it 4 to 6 days?
Well, at least we know Esther went three.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for fact, we know three, probably a couple more days longer if needed.
How long can you go without food?
I know you can go at least 30, but some people have gone more. Would be my guess.
Okay. If it's freezing outside... If it's freezing outside, how long can you go without warm enough clothing?
Oof. I don't know if there's a timeline on that because it's individual, but you might not make it through a cold night.
A few hours, okay. Potentially.
You want to use logic. The sheets that I give you will logically have things listed on them. So first of all... You want to use your reasoning powers in this. And prayerfully, taken prayerfully, you can cover a lot of ground pretty quickly. It is very possible at this point in time today that your efforts to prepare physically, it might be too little too late. But I would say don't let that deter you. None of us know the day or the hour. Move ahead and continue to plan. Now, we don't want to spend money that we don't have, but we want to be reasonable about this. And so what you want to do is you want to begin with what you can. You want to begin to prepare so you can drink, your family can eat, so that you have a way to cook things. There's a huge diversity between modern, fancy, and I don't mean fancy as a negative word, technologically advanced methods for cooking, purifying water, all kinds of these things, and I'll discuss them in the materials that I give you. We can talk about it on our next program. But you can start off basically. Have some water set aside. Have some food. Be sure you have a coat and some shoes so that you can stay warm. The next thing, though, that I want to throw out, which is in the minutes we have left, I would like you to consider a question that is very, very, very critical in your planning. This question goes like this. If tomorrow a severe situation occurred, okay, one that was of significant magnitude to make you sit up and take attention and make a decision, will you be one that makes where you live a tough place to live? Will you be staying where you are, or will you be leaving your home or wherever you live now? Will you be moving, or will you be staying? That question is critical for your planning. Now, a person who lives in the city, who looks over that list of potential disasters that I read to you, well, almost every single one of these things would make living in the city very tough. But it might also be that you live in just a town. But when everybody is hungry and people are sick all over the place and no one's got enough water, even a modest or a small town can be a really difficult place to live. Are you following me?
Absolutely.
So you need to be thinking, if in a bad situation, what will I do? Am I going to hold out where I am, or am I going to pick up and go? Very important question. If you cannot think about that question, then I wouldn't do a lot of extensive planning until you can at least think about that and start by praying about it. Now, when you make that decision, for instance, let me give you a couple examples. That decision will tell you if you need to own a bicycle or not. It will tell you, do I need to have water containers that are so big that only a vehicle can carry them, or do I need to be sure that whatever I put water in, I can put it on my back? Do I need to have a backpack? Or am I planning just to use my RV? But if there is an electromagnetic pulse, which some people listening may not be very familiar with what it is, but there's two ways we can get it. One is from a burst of solar energy, and another one is from a small nuclear bomb that's detonated real high in the atmosphere. But either one can knock out electronics and make your car so it won't run and knock out the power grid to your house.
Some people might not be aware of a famous event we had in the 1800s. I think was it the Carrington event, where we had a solar flare. Solar flare caught the telegraph lines on fire. Correct.
Caught the poles on fire. It popped the wires. Man, just pop and break apart. You know, so much energy.
So that's I know sometimes it's so hard to believe, but in today's society, where we are literally running completely on electronics, even our electricity, the way that it's dispersed, is all controlled through electronic panels, and everything's computer driven nowadays. We would collapse into chaos so fast. I think it would make people's head spins if we were to have a solar flare or a man-made EMP attack.
Yes, most people who have witnessed situations where there is a breakdown and no electric power, and when there's no electricity, most of the other infrastructure ceases to function efficiently, and many times it ceases to function at all. Usually there is a honeymoon period. That honeymoon period can go anywhere from a few hours to, say, 2 to 3 days. Usually 2 days you're getting out of that. After the honeymoon period, people begin to get desperate. And desperation breeds violence. Desperation breeds corruption of the souls of men who never thought they would do the things that they are now doing. So these are all serious matters, and a person must ask themselves, you know, if I am willing to go to great extents to get food and water for my family when they need it, is there a reason that I wouldn't plan ahead so I do not have to go to great extent, or maybe I should say, in parenthesis, suffer the temptation to steal and to rob and whatever it takes to get it? Why wouldn't I plan ahead? Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. And Dad, for me, when I look at this preparedness issue, I see it many ways. We know, Dad, that obviously there's going to come a time when the preparedness is over and we will be 100% relying upon the Lord as we should have been all through the whole thing. But there will become a time when the society is completely broken, everything's gone, and God will supernaturally provide. And we understand that. But for me also, being prepared, it gives you a moment to actually seek God and to find out. It may be the difference between you being able to get your family on that next boat out or whatever, because you have a mindset that God's, you know, that you may have to flee one day if that's God's desire for you. But to simply sit around and to act like this could never happen, I think is just, well, it just makes no sense. And God gave us brains. And when we follow the Bible and His wisdom, He helps us to make decisions that are based on His will and by His Spirit.
Yes. I know that we're getting close to time. The clock is pushing us into the last few minutes. But I'd like to throw an idea out here. whenever the Scriptures talk about God's people not suffering, the evil that is coming, where He protects His people, He always provides for them. He won't allow anything to come upon them that they can't bear. I am strongly convicted that the Lord, one of the reasons that He wants us to realize that there are steps to take, preparations to make, is not just because He wants to see His faithful followers sitting comfortable while the rest of the world goes to hell in the handbasket. I don't believe that. I believe one of the strong reasons why, and I'm not saying it's the only one, but one of the strong, significant reasons why the Lord wants us to be prepared so we can hide ourselves away, so we can avoid persecution, although there will be some people that will be martyrs for Him, and they can best serve Him that way. But one of the strong reasons is because He does not want to see His faithful followers thrown into severe temptation. You know, the Bible says that there will come a day when men's hearts will fail them. Now, I interpret that as meaning die, where their hearts will fail them because of the fear they experience when they see what's coming on the earth. And I believe that the Lord wants His people not to be thrown into the kind of temptation that will come upon people who are in situations like that. So it's not just to make your life easy. It's to protect you from Satan, because Satan is very powerful. There comes a time the Lord settles all scores. He takes care of that. It's tough. And so I just wanted to bring that up. He desires to protect His people not only from harm, but to protect them from overwhelming temptations, overwhelming delusions. You know, the Bible also says that there will come a time when the Lord will send a delusion that people might believe a lie. Now, if we study that, it's a fascinating study, well worth its time. But I think the Lord wants to protect His people as much as they are willing from overwhelming temptation.
Absolutely, Dad. And you and I, we talked earlier today about the simple fact of, you know, even having a passport, having it up to date. Now, it could be when everything falls apart that, you know, we end up having to get into a rowboat, you know, or whatever that may be. But I would say to the listener out there, if you're stuck on your stuff and you're stuck on your home, it's time to pray and get unstuck. Because
Absolutely.
We need to detach. We need to detach from the things of this world. And it's hard to hear God when you're not listening. And I think the thing that's about the preparedness mindset is you begin to take the command literally where God says to watch. And you begin to look for his return. And you begin to become aware of what's going on around. And when you do that, God, I believe, can also speak easily because he knows you're actively doing what he asked. And also at the same time as doing this, folks, we can't forget, we got to still be witnessing and doing those things. And I tell you, God might send a lot of people in the tough times to you to take care of.
Right.
There will come a great harvest when everything falls apart, and we need to be ready. You know, many of us fight for a lifetime to bring a few souls to Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, we will see harvests like we've never seen when everything falls apart. Look at China. Look at places of intense persecution, and look what God's doing.
Amen.
Well, Dad, we're getting down low on time now, and I appreciate, I mean, I don't even think we could scratch even the surface. There's so much to talk about. And we will continue to go down this path for the future and look at it more. But, Dad, right now, I'm a broke believer. I've got nothing at all. I can't afford to prepare at all. What would you tell me to do?
I would say you need to go get on your knees first and ask the Lord what he would have you do. And then you should go to where you live and what you have and simply say, Lord, all that I have is yours. What do you want me to sell now to come up with the money to do what you want me to do? Most people have things they can sell. Find somebody who's interested in take that money and prepare. But the simple preparations, which of course we'll have to talk about next time, you can literally make serious preparations for no more than $100, and I'll tell you how to do it.
Well, Dad, thank you for that. I really do appreciate it. We'll get the stuff posted out on the website with the checklists. And to our believers tonight, to myself, to Todd, to you, Dad, all of us, let's remember, we got to get in our prayer closets. We got to get serious with God. It's time to turn off the world and turn on Jesus. It's time to shut off the technology for a moment and let's open up the Word again. I'm not against technology, as I've said on this program before, but we got to get back in the Word. And we got to get on our knees because God may tell us one day, just like he did when he warned the believers, hey, it's time to get out. The trouble is on the way. You know, you need to flee now. And if we're not actively listening, then we may miss that opportunity to run. And so thank you, Dad, for being here tonight. Love you, Dad. Love everybody out here. Thank you all. And just want to close with a quick word of prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that we would prepare according to your will by your Spirit through your power.
Amen.
And Lord, may we surrender ourselves and submerge ourselves into your word. And under the blood, we all shall come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening. God bless and shalom.
Good night.